excited? Hey, we're on God's side. We got something to be happy about. Isn't that true? I like what Sonny said a while ago. God is a great God. Isn't that true? Man, where would we be without God? You know, if we got what we deserved, we'd go to hell. That's right. But the Lord forgave us. Isn't that wonderful? And I'm thanking God for all he's doing. And I praise God for it. I heard on TV, they arrested a man that was legally drunk. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. How do you be legally drunk? I thought it was illegal. Isn't that funny how people talk? Can't figure out what they're talking about. Oh, something they're trying to say. It's like, you know, they put a date on sour cream. It's already rotten. I didn't figure that out. But I wonder why everybody in winning somebody to Christ. Did you witness to somebody today? Did you talk to somebody? I think it's important. I did at the hotel. I talked to a man. Really witnessed to him. I think it's important to talk to everybody. How many, let me ask you a question. How many believe you should go out to win souls? You that raised your hand are wrong. Did you hear what I said? You don't go out to win souls. That's a project. You win souls as you go out. That's a lifestyle. And that's what I do. I can't help it. It's just the way it is. I just all the time figuring out stuff. Lady flight attendant picked up my plate the other day after a meal. And she said, are you done? I said, no, I'm pretty smart. Why? She said, my God, what did I say? See, they don't know what they're talking about half the time. Picked up my plate yesterday and they said, are you finished? I said, no, I'm Jewish. So, you know, they never get it straight. So I just have a lot of fun talking about it. I think winning souls should be a fun thing. Amen? When I was a kid, I never did like tracks. My daddy was a preacher and I never did like tracks. He had what they called a track rack. You know what that is? In the old days, they did that. They put tracks in there to win people. Four things God wants you to know. I'd see them on the floor. People took them, threw them away. And so I never did like tracks. My dad had a track rack in his church, and it said on the top, take one and pass out. So us kids would take one and fall on the floor like we passed out. We did stuff. So we did dumb things. And I never did like tracks. So then through the years, the Lord changed me. And one day I was working on a track. And I was on the airplane. And I had this track. I was working on it. And the guy said, what is that? I said, it's a track to show people how to give their life to Jesus. He said, could I get 100 of those? I said, yeah, I'm getting them printed. Give me your address. I'll send you 100 free. I said, what church you go to? Oh, he said, I'm an atheist. I said, what? I thought, what does he want this track for? So then I said, well, why do you want that? He said, I have 100 employees. I want to put one on every desk. I said, wow. So I went on to the next plane, and I was working on it again. And I laid it on the thing that you pull down, and I turned it sideways so the guy beside me could see it. I know how to fish. And so he said, could I get 50 of those? I told him it was a track to show people how to accept Christ. He said, give me 50. I said, I'll send them to you free. So then I said, what church do you go to? Oh, I said, I don't go to church, but I got 50 employees. I want to give everyone one. I thought, this is crazy. I got non-Christians wanting this track. And so I asked the guy, I said, why do you like it? He said, I like the title. And the title is, what in the hell do you want? Who in hell cares? It's like if you go to McDonald's and you say, you don't use the word the, you say, what in McDonald's would you like? Oh, and a Big Mac and a Coke, okay. Well, and when you open it up and read it, it says there's nothing in hell you want. Everything you want is actually in heaven. And we are now in our third million of these tracks. We, and as far as I know, we have the only track that sinners are passing out. When they call my office, and we know they're not Christians, because they said, we want some of that hell stuff. We know right then they ain't Christians. We send it to them free. It's crazy. We sell them in bundles for Christians to pay. You know, they have to pay. But anyway, we have a lot of fun with this. And I've taken these tracks, and I laid one in the restroom the other day, and a man walked by, and he looked at it, put it in his pocket. I thought, that's cool. I mean, we've had more people saved and all kinds of things. Isn't that exciting what God can do? So God can do good things, can't he? Turn to somebody and say, you should be a better witness. Tell somebody. Amen. God is a big God, isn't he? So we have to do what we have to do. My shirt this morning, I've been in a lot of churches, but this is the only church I've ever been in where three people wanted to buy my shirt. So I wore it again tonight. We're going to auction it. No, I'm just kidding you. But anyway, that's what I told Pastor. I was trying to make him feel nervous. I turn everything into soul winning. Lady, the other day, I said, what's good on the menu? She said, well, we have cured ham. I said, what did it have before they cured it? I don't eat stuff that's been sick before, you know. They said, I bought a steak years ago, and they said to me, said, how do you want it? I said, I want it well. She said, why? I said, I don't want it sick. You know, people say dumb things, don't they? So I'm just always turning things and having. My wife said one day, said, do you ever answer anybody straight when they ask you a question? I said, well, I turn it into soul winning. Everybody can win somebody to Christ. If you bought my book on soul winning, and in our seminar we talk about this, that many years ago when I first started, I was about 20, I think, and I got on the airplane, and I sat beside a lady I did not like. There was something about her spirit. There was something about her that aggravated me, and I didn't know what it was. But I built a witness to her. So we took off. They served us a little sandwich. She bowed her head and prayed over it. I bowed my head and prayed over mine. I thought, what's with this? So I said, are you a Christian? She said, no, I'm a witch. I said, like, you know, like Halloween, like a real witch? She said, they're all real. Ran the goosebumps up my back. And she said, I know you prayed over your sandwich to God. I prayed over mine to Satan. Oh, I'm going to win her right away. I was shook up. No wonder I didn't like her. So I said, if you're a real witch, how come you're on this airplane? How come you're not riding your broom? It's in my book on the chapter, What Not to Do. I have a chapter, What Not to Do. Oh, dear. I learned a lot of things the hard way, but we can do it. There's ways to do it. Everybody can win somebody. You know, how many believe that if you brought one person tonight, we'd have twice as many? See, very few of you believe that. Everybody can win somebody. I like what Pastor Harris said today. If everybody just won one, wouldn't that be good? You could win somebody this week. Amen? Go in the restaurant. Talk to somebody. We did today, didn't we? What a time we had to pastor today. I love being around him. He's cool. Amen? You got a cool pastor. And we can always talk to somebody. Everybody can do it. I don't think you should be like me or your pastor or your mate. Everybody's different. My wife and I are worlds apart. I see Pastor Rick here tonight, and of course, he knows that. We are worlds apart. My wife's quiet, and I don't understand her. She likes cats. I hate cats. I like dogs. She don't like dogs. We have a dog. She has cats. She named him. Is that stupid? She named every cat that's in our area. And when she feeds them, say, kitty, kitty, they all come. They don't care what their name is. My dog has a name. He knows his name. But cats, something about cats. You go to Alaska, they got dog sleds. They don't have cat sleds. Isn't that true? Something sick about those cats. That's why when you go to the hospital, they give you a cat scan. Why not give them a dog scan? You ever think of that? I always thought about it. I went for my yearly physical, and the doctor said, how are you? I said, you're the doctor. You tell me. I ain't going to tell you, and you charge me. How dumb is that? You know, they got a system. It's unbelievable. I came home one day. I'll tell you this. I came home one day, and my wife is up in a birch tree with a ladder. She's 25 feet up in the tree. I said, what are you doing? She said, the cat's been up here for a week. I'm getting the cat down. I said, get down off that ladder. You get hurt. I got her down. I put the ladder away. She said, what are you doing? I said, I'm putting the ladder away. She said, what about the cat? I said, you think I care? But I said, I got to ask you a question. Everything's got to be intelligent. So I said, have you ever in your lifetime seen a cat skeleton in a tree? She said, no. I said, case dismissed. That's it. They never die up there. Always come down. Isn't that true? I mean, the firemen come and the policemen come and they get the cat out of the tree and everybody claps and thanks them. They leave. Cat goes back up in the tree. I don't think God should have made cats. No, it's just a personal thing. I think Noah should have drowned those two when he had a chance. But anyway, we better get off of that. How did I get on that? My wife is different than me. Everybody is different. My mind thinks different. I had a friend with me. We were on the street corner, and we saw a sign in Seattle that said, if you see a missing person, call his number. I told my friend, call a number. He said, who's missing? I said, I don't know. Somebody's missing. Should be more people on the street. It's a dumb sign, isn't it? Like hidden driveway. You ever seen that? The sign says hidden driveway. Well, if they hid it, why'd they tell us where it was? You know, so I look at everything. That's why I wonder why everybody don't talk to somebody about Christ. You can do it. Every one of you have a personality that God can use. Can't be like your mate. Can't be like somebody else. Just be yourself. Amen? Praise God. Well, this morning we sold all our books and tapes and videos. I think we had some tracks left, but we sold everything else. So if you want something, I'll give you a sheet with everything on it, and we can have it sent to you on Tuesday, because we sold all the seminars, and if you buy a seminar, I'm giving you all the tapes and books and videos and CDs and DVDs free. So you have to stop back there and check it out. Is that a good idea? Amen. Well, I invited a guy. I don't see him here tonight, but from IHOP, we invited him. And maybe he'll come, and I told him I'd give him a book, and he said he might be late, but I don't see him yet. But if he comes in, I'm going to stop everything and give him a book. Is that fair enough? All right. You bring a Bible with you tonight. And I hope and pray that God does good things in your life. And I also pray that your family be blessed in every way. We all face things. But I want you to turn in your Bible to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8 and verse 22. The Bible said, it came to pass on a certain day, talking about Jesus, he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, let us go over to the other side of the lake. When he said that, the disciples had no idea what he was talking about. That's the trouble with us sometimes. We don't get the point. Isn't that true? I mean, you know that sometimes we're that way. There was a couple that argued their whole life. Every day, man and his wife argued every day. And finally, the kids took them to a counselor and said, we got to do something about this. Mom and dad argue every day. They never fail. Even when she says to her husband, you're right, he said, no, I'm not. So they, no matter what happened, they argued. So they took him to a counselor, and the young counselor sitting at his desk, and the lady was sitting here, and the husband over here. And the husband leaned over and said, "Let me tell him what's wrong with our marriage." She said, "You don't know." He said, "I do too." She said, "You don't either." And they got into it again, arguing. The poor counselor sat there forever, and he didn't know what to do. Finally, he got up and he went where the lady was and lifted her right out of the seat and planted a kiss right on her mouth, right in front of the husband. And he sat her back down. And he turned to the husband and says, "She needs that 3 times a week. Husband said, "I'll bring her in Monday, Wednesday, and Friday." So he never got the point. So sometimes we don't get the point of what is happening. And that's what happened with Jesus here. The disciples didn't know what he meant when he said, "Let us go over." See, if you don't get over, you'll never know what God could have done for you. And I don't say this to be bragging on this church, but I prayed this afternoon about tonight's service. And in my heart, I just feel tremendous things are going to happen. This building is not going to hold the crowds in the future. Now, you can write that down and take it to the bank. Not because I said it, but I believe God's going to do some big things. You get what you believe for. If you believe you cannot do something, your mind will attract reasons to support that belief. If you say, "I can do this," your mind will attract reasons why you can. Amen? Sonny was saying, everything's fine. God touched him, healed him. Well, see, we get what we believe for. And you have to believe for good stuff. Jesus said, "Let us go over." Well, they went over, and what was Jesus going to do? He was on his way to a miracle. The Lord is always on his way to a miracle. He's on his way to a miracle in this church, in your life. We talked about the master plan this morning. God's on his way to a miracle. He was going, what was he going to do? Deliver a man that was demon-possessed. This man was an embarrassment to his family. He ran around the cemeteries stark naked. And people just probably shook their heads and said, "Oh man, that's what's their name's son. How sad that is." Jesus was going over to deliver him. That's why he said, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." And so he was on his way delivering, and he went over there, you know the story, and he set the man free. He had demons in him. He cast the demons out and cast them into the pigs. You ever read that? And the pigs went down the hill and drowned in water. That's where deviled ham came from. But anyway, that's what happened. And he was on his way to a miracle. The Lord is always on his way to a miracle. When he said here, "Let us go over," I think that's an exciting thing for the Lord to say, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." Nothing happens by chance with God. Even when bad things happen, we don't understand it sometimes, but God is trying to make diamonds out of us. You know what a diamond is? It's a piece of coal that made good under pressure. That's what a diamond is. And so God's, how many believe we're diamonds? How many's in the making? How many's still a piece of coal? All right, but God's trying to help us, and he has to change our thinking. How many here believe dogs like bones? You're wrong. Dogs don't like bones. Dogs like meat. You say, "Well, I gave my dog a bone, and he took it." Of course he did, because it smelled like meat. And when you went back in the house, he buried the bone. Dogs never bury meat. They bury bones. Why do they? Why? Is it they don't like bones? They like, I made a test with my dog. I laid down a bone, laid down a piece of meat. What did you take? The meat. Dogs like meat. But dogs settle for bones because that's what we give them. Amen? There's a lot of Christians settling for bones when God wants to give you meat. Because he's got a miracle for us. He's on his way to perform a miracle. It's what the Bible said. And so he said, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." And I like that. Nothing happens by chance with God. I've been with New Leaf Press with my books for years. Some of you have my books. And the company is in trouble. A lot of Christian book companies are in trouble right now anyway, because they can't compete with Amazon and so on. You can, in our town at Safeway store, you can buy a can of soup for $1.25. But if you go to Costco, you can get it for $1.05. But Amazon will sell you the same can of soup for 45 cents delivered to your house. So you can't compete with that. So a lot of book companies are having trouble. And New Leaf Press, I pray for them. I've been with them for years, sold tens of thousands of books with them. And I prayed on this last book on the master plan for success. And I just said, God, you've got to help me. I don't know what to do. The book company's in trouble. They can't even pay the royalties. What should I do? And we were in the airport, and I was sitting down. My wife was shopping and doing something. And I sat beside a man. He said, how you doing? I said, doing great. He said, where are you going? I said, Washington, D.C. He said, that's where I'm going. I said, we're going on this flight. He said, yeah. And he said, what do you do? I never tell him I'm a preacher because it closes the door. How many understand that? I said, well, I do speaking and I'm an author. He said, really? How many books you written? I said, seven. He said, what company are you with? I said, I'm with New Leaf Press, but I have a new book that I'm working on and it'll be done this month. And I said, I've got to figure out what I'm going to do with it. He said, let me give you my card. I'm the vice president of Amazon. And that was the beginning. And so I'm now an Amazon author. But anyway, what I'm saying is nothing happens by chance with God. God is always doing good stuff. I saw a couple sitting in the airport and they were like despondent. And I saw them talking and they just couldn't figure nothing out and she was discouraged. And so I thought, well, I got to talk to them. So I went down, walked away, and then I came back right by them so I could say, how you doing? And she said, not good. I said, what's the matter? She said, we've been here for 2 days. We can't get a flight. We missed our flight and the flights are full. And we've been sitting here for 2 days. I said, really? On United Airlines? Yeah. I said, give me your tickets. He said, why? I said, I'll get you a seat. He said, you can't get us a seat. There are no seats. I said, I can make seats. He said, who are you? I said, just a passenger on the United. So he gave me the tickets. So I went over and gal in Seattle, I know her. I said, I need 2 seats for these people. She said, Ken, we're oversold by 10. I said, I don't care. I need 2 seats. Throw somebody off. She said, okay. So she gave me 2 seats. And so I went over and I said, here's your tickets. You're on the flight. He said, how'd you do that? I said, well, I'm United's second highest flyer in the world. I'm a 10 million mile flyer. I live in the air when I travel. So they do about whatever I ask. I said, well, how'd you get the seats? I said, ain't important. So they were happy. They couldn't believe it. And finally, the lady at the counter called a name of 2 people. Mr. and Mrs. Soldier, would you come up to the desk, please? They went up there and they said, we're oversold. And if we give you $500 a piece, would you wait and take another flight? They said, yeah. They just made $1,000. They're happy. I'm happy. The other people are happy. We're all happy. Isn't that exciting? See, I don't believe that happened by chance. So then I went over and sat with them, and I led them to Christ. And this last March, they went to Israel with me. Isn't that amazing? See, God arranges things. Sometimes in your life, you don't realize it. I believe God keeps us from accidents sometimes. Of course, my wife wrecked my car a month ago, but didn't keep her from that. But anyway, it's crazy. She broke her left knee. She called me, said I scratched the car. The engine was in the dash, but anyway, went down there and she broke her left knee. They got that fixed. And then a month later, she fell and broke her right knee. She said, are you going to say something positive about that? I said, yeah. Some people have all the breaks. She said, you're positive no matter what. I said, I am. But nothing happens by chance. God arranges things. And I believe that sometimes, not always, but sometimes God keeps us from an accident. Last year, my wife, God kept us from 400 accidents. That's how many times she was late. That's what she said. But anyway, God arranges stuff. So the Lord said here, let us go over to the other side of the lake. So they got in the boat and they were going over. The disciples had no clue that Jesus was on his way to deliver a man. And Jesus fell asleep on the boat. Did you ever read that? How could Jesus fall asleep on a boat? Because he's the master of every storm. In your life, spiritually or physically or financially or emotionally, he's the master of every storm. We all go through storms. We all have things happen, isn't that true? But God is a big God, and he's trying to help us. So he told his disciples, let us go over. And the disciples woke him up because the boat was full of water, and they were bailing water out, trying to save the boat. They said, Jesus, wake up. We're going under. He just told them we're going over. This ain't a submarine. We're going over. So you either, when something happens in your life, you either break down, or you break up, or you break through. The storms that we face are not our problem, but the outcome depends upon us. See, I believe life is 10% of what happens to you, and 90% of how you react to what happens. We all react bad sometimes, isn't that true? But we have to learn what the Lord was all about here. I just love this part. You can go over. You can make it through. You can get it done. God will give you a miracle. Circumstances happen. My son was killed 6 years ago this May. I didn't like that. I told the pastor about it, and I was a little ticked at God. I'm sorry to say that, but that's what really happened. And I said, God, I'm doing what you called me to do, and then you let my son die in an accident, a motorcycle. But I learned how to get over it. And later people asked my wife and I, how did you get through that? It's because when we got married many years ago, we said, as for me and my house, you got it. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. Tough times, bad times, whatever. It doesn't matter. Anybody can be happy when all the bills are paid and there's food in the cupboards and you've had a good meal and you have money in the bank and you have a job and everything's fine. You can be happy then. But you really learn how to trust God in the tough times. Somebody say an amen to that. You learn how to trust God when things don't go like you want them to go. They didn't go too good here. They were in a storm. But the Lord shapes our lives and helps us to do the right thing. You can take and make a positive out of a negative. Did you know that in 1929, that's before our time, but in 1929, the GM company was building, I don't know if they were building, they were inventing insulation that goes in the walls of buildings, 1929. And they made it so it would stick. It was a total failure. Total failure. And the company was upset at the man that was working on this. And finally, I forget his name, but finally he said, I see something here. It's sticky. And he invented something that became a multi-million-dollar business. What was invented in 1929? Scotch tape. And out of that failure, he invented that. Isn't that something? So when we face things, I think we have to make them stepping stones. We're not right all the time. We don't know everything. I just got a new t-shirt that says, I don't Google, my wife knows everything. I don't wear it. But anyway, the Lord takes care of us. And here, they refused to cave in during a crisis. They were praying in victory and talking negative. We're going under. Jesus said we're going over. We're going to make it. How many believe we are? I read the last chapter of the book and we win. Hallelujah. So we're going to get through it. We don't have to break down or break up. We'll break through and believe God is a big God. Amen. So that's what happened here in this. And some people always making excuses. Well, you know, like people say, well, I can't win souls. I'm not good at it. You can get good at it. You say, well, I'm shy. That's all right. Lead shy people to the Lord. You say, I don't know what to say. That's all right. They're shy. They'll wait. I'm a guy that hates excuses. I can't do this. It won't work. It's impossible. You want to know about excuses? Talk to your insurance man and let him tell you about the accidents and what's on the reports. It is never the people's fault. Did you know that? 90% of the time, it ain't the people's fault. One lady said the light was green from both directions. That ain't true. But that's when she blamed the light system. Another man said, I was riding with my mother-in-law, and I looked over at my mother-in-law, and I drove in the ditch. Another man said, the pedestrian had no idea which way to go, so I ran over him. Wasn't his fault. Isn't that crazy? But the best one that my insurance man told me, this lady said, the accident was not my fault. Had it right on top. Accident, not my fault. She said the telephone pole was approaching fast, and I attempted to swerve out of its way, and it struck my car. She blamed the telephone pole. Telephone poles don't move. She was in the ditch. But you see, people make excuses. Everybody here could win somebody to Christ. It's not a problem. Amen? I win people. I have fun. I think we should have fun winning people. Don't you think so? I think so. God is a big God. You have what you believe for. You have a personality that nobody else has. And God can use you. You don't have to be like me or your pastor, whatever. I love you, pastor. But I have to do what I do. My wife is different than me. You know that. She loves cats. So, you know, we're totally different. But she wins people to Christ that would never listen to me. Everybody has something they could do to touch somebody's life. And when you go to a restaurant, be sure you tip. If you don't tip, don't tell them where you go to church because you embarrass your pastor. This is on, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, that's what I do. I do it all the time. I think it's wonderful. God is a big God. I figure out new ways. When I go through a toll booth, I always pay for the one behind me. I do that. And I tell a lady or who's ever in a toll booth. In Chicago, they got toll booths every 15 feet. It's amazing. You just get going, toll booth. How many been there? And so I say, I'm paying for the guy behind me. He said, okay. And I said, I'm going to pull over by this telephone. She said, all right. So the next guy pulls up and said, your toll is paid. And he said, really, who paid my toll? He said, I don't know, it's that guy over by the telephone. It's a magnet. And he'll drive over 100% of the time. And I get out and he says, well, why'd you pay my toll? I said, I always do something to bless somebody. You ever done that? He said, never have. I said, well, I do it all the time. And I witnessed to him. I've led some to Christ, some I didn't, but it's fun, isn't it? I was in Tulsa. I was in Tulsa preaching for Billy Joe Daugherty. You know who that is? He passed away a couple years ago, but his wife runs a church. They run about 15,000. And so I was there, and I pulled up to the toll booth to pay my fare, and the lady said, your toll is paid. I said, what? I couldn't believe it. Never happened to me. And I said, who paid my toll? She said, that guy over by the phone booth. I said, what? I had to go over there. You know, as a magnet, I could not live without checking it out. So I went over, and he got out, and I said, you paid my toll? He said, yes. I said, well, why'd you do that? He said, it's a long story. I said, I have the time. He said, well, he said, I have a friend that goes to hear a speaker. His name is Ken Gobb. And he said, he goes to hear him, and Ken Gobb says, pay somebody's toll, buy somebody lunch, buy him a cup of coffee, whatever. And he said, that's why I do this. And he said, sir, do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? I said, what? I said, I'm Ken Gobb. He said, no way. And this is the truth. Pastor Harris, I had to get out my driver's license and show it to him that I was really who he was thinking about. He couldn't believe it. That's the only time that ever happened. But it'll spread if you do something. Amen? People know. And it's so much fun to lead people to Christ. When I'm on the airlines and they get a new flight attendant, the old flight attendants that know me will sick her onto me. They'll say, serve him coffee up there in that seat. You know, and she'll come and I have fun witnessing. Everybody can do that. Amen? So if you don't feel you can do something, start saying, I can do it. Turn to somebody next to you and say, you need to do this. Amen. Everybody can do it. So Jesus was asleep. He got up in the boat, and what did he do? I can see him in that little boat. The other day we talked about this on the Sea of Galilee. We always take a boat ride across the sea, and it's really, really fun. We stop the boat and have a worship service on the boat, and other boats pull up beside us sometimes, and we have a speaker system, and we witness, talk to people. We had a whole group of Muslims on a boat, and they heard us. They didn't know what to think, but they heard us. We had a good time. We always do it. And I thought of that when Jesus was on the sea, and they woke him up, and he got up. It was a bad storm. It's the only body of water in the world where in 15 minutes water can be 30 foot high. They'd never understood it. And the Sea of Galilee is the only place called a sea that's not a sea. It's Lake Gennesaret, the Bible says. But it's called Sea of Galilee, too, even though it's a lake. And so I thought of Jesus there being on that little boat, the wind blowing his hair, rain beating his face. I could just see him there. And he stood up, and the Bible doesn't say it, but I believe he must have smiled because he just told the disciples, we're going over. We're not going under. We're not going to break down or break up. We're going to break through. He just told them that. And he got up, and in one gospel, he said three words. What did he say? Peace be still. And the water smoothed out, and the wind kept blowing. And I can see the disciples are saying, what manner of man is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him. That's the kind of God that we serve. See, when I read this portion of God's word, he was on his way to a miracle, and he believed that good things was going to happen. But a lot of people magnify their problems. I was in my home church, and the pastor said, pray with the people around the elders. I wasn't speaking there that Sunday, but I prayed with people, and I listened to one guy praying, and you won't like this, but I went over and kicked him on the shoe. I said, Bill, get up. Meet me in the back. I took him out in the foyer. He said, what's going on? I said, are you stupid or something? Do you think God is stupid? He said, what are you saying? I said, I heard you praying, saying, oh, God, you have no idea what I'm going through. Hello? How many believe God's got an idea? He's got an idea. He knows. He's always on his way to a miracle. I said, don't pray like that. Don't tell God how big the problem is. When you're praying, talk to the problem. Tell it how big your God is. Amen? Just turn that around and say, God, you're a big God. You're going to answer prayer, and I thank God for it. Amen? So that's what we have to do. And so a lot of people magnified the problems. And I think of in Alaska, there's a girl called Susan Butcher. I don't know if you've heard of her. She's pretty famous. She races dog sleds, not cat sleds, dog sleds. And she's won 4 awards for courage. She won, I think, 6 awards for winning the race. And that's when they go 1,000 miles on a dog sled. dogs, like 8, 10 dogs in front, and she's riding the back of the sled. And so she was on the race of her life, 1,100 miles. And it was 70 below zero. That's cold. That freezes the tomatoes. And so she was on this sled, and she was 30 miles, 25 or 30, not exactly sure, but 25 or 30 miles from the goal, from winning. And the dogs were slowing down. And Susan got off of the sled and encouraged the dogs. Now, who does that? She come alongside and said, "You can make it. Come on." She called them by name. "Come on, come on. You can make it. We can make this work." She was cold. She was nearly frozen. Her hair was frozen. She had ice on her face, 70 below zero. And she went on both sides of the sled and encouraged the dogs and ran the last whatever miles it was. When she went through the winning part, she fell down. She couldn't get up. She was nearly frozen. They brought blankets, warm blankets they had, brought them out and put them around her, and they carried her away. You know what she said as she was carried away? "I knew I could make it. I knew I could make it." And I always loved that about her. Always saying, "I can do it. You can do it." Amen? God is a big God. And God in his power put a power within each of you that is greater than any negative force that would ever come against you in your entire life. And you can make it. You can make it over. You can make it through. And you can have an answer. Amen? So I underlined, I took my pen, and I, in the Bible here, I circled the word "over," because I believe that we can make it over. I believe God can help us to get through every problem. And people that move the world are people that don't let the world move them. Amen? I've had people, I was reading in the Bible one day, and the Bible said there was a man sent from God whose name is John. Did you ever read that? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. I said, "Man, I like that. I can use that." So I met people and I said, "Hi, my name's Ken. I'm a man sent from God to speak into your life today." I've had people scream. I've had people cry. I've had people laugh. I've had people make fun of it. It didn't matter to me. I got on a plane one day and a lady was going to sit beside me. And I said, "Hi, my name's Ken. I'm a man sent from God to speak into your life today." She dropped her purse and her book and covered her face and screamed. And the flight attendant turned around and said, "What's the matter?" And the guy sitting across the aisle said, "He's a man from God." You can't believe all that happened on that flight. We had more fun. I led her to Christ, but we had more fun. I believe you can say that. You can say, "I'm a woman sent from God to speak into your life." You believe you are? Amen? You're a man or a woman sent from God to speak into somebody's life. You never know who's hurting. You never know. I was in Pennsylvania. I was going down the freeway, and I thought, I'll get a cup of coffee, and I took an exit. God didn't tell me to. I just did it. But God arranges our lives. And so I pulled in, and there was a highway patrol car sitting there, and I parked beside it and went in and got a cup of coffee. And I watched the highway patrolman over there, and he had an ashtray full of cigarette butts. He'd been there a while. And then the waitress came and took his coffee and dumped it out and brought him a hot cup. And his sandwich was just sitting there, not eaten. And I watched a little bit, and I told the waitress, "Pick up that highway patrolman's bill and bring it over to me. Don't say that, just bring me the bill." And so he saw it, and he looked over at me, and I waved at him, and he waved, and he told me to come over. When the cop says come over or pull over, you better do it. So I went over, and he said, "Why are you paying this for me?" I said, "Well, I do things to bless people, but I see you're in trouble. And look at the ashtray full of cigarette butts. You're not eating your sandwich. She dumped her coffee out and got you hot coffee. You're not even drinking the coffee." He said, "Could I talk to you?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "Go out to my car." And here this nice-looking highway patrolman, about 6'5", we went out in the car. He said, "Oh, my wife and I are having trouble. My daughter's pregnant, not married. I'm just having all kinds of problems. And I decided to end my life. And I pulled beside the road and put the gun to my head and pulled the trigger, and it did not fire." And you know that had to be God. He said, "I couldn't even kill myself." And he said, I don't know what I'm doing." Well, I led him to Christ in the patrol car. If you go to Pennsylvania, I can show you a church where he's an usher now, serving God. You got to keep your eyes open. Watch for people. Watch what's going on. Amen? A lot of times we're so busy with our own life, we don't have time for nobody else. Isn't that true? Find that true in my life. I'm always busy, but I'm always talking to somebody about Christ, what he did in my life. I talked to a preacher one day. I said, "What's the first thing you do when you get on an airplane?" "Oh," he said, "I witness." I tell him, "I'm a preacher, and you need to be saved." He says, "Is that what you do?" I said, "No, I don't do that. I never tell them I'm a preacher. It's not important. What's important is to win them to Christ." So I said, "I don't shut the door before I have a chance to catch a fish." As I learned, if you're fishing, number one, you go where the fish are. Number two, you don't scare them before you catch them. Number three, if your bait ain't working, you better change it. I learned that from my dad. So I said, if I have a 6-hour flight, the first 3 hours, I tell jokes. I have fun with them. We get them laughing. We have a great time. Then the last 3 hours, I zero in on them. I will do that tomorrow. And believe, as I go to Chicago and Chicago to Seattle and home, I'm a witness to somebody. Maybe I'll win them to Christ. Amen? See, God has a way to work things out. And whatever you're going through, there might be people here tonight going through something. You might love God with all your heart, but Christians go through things too. And if you're going through something, you can turn that around and say, "God, I believe you're going to help me." Talk to the problem and say, "Problem, you ain't no problem at all. I got a God bigger than you. He'll take care of the problem." Amen? He'll work a miracle. See, many years ago, some of you know this, but many years ago, when my wife was dying of cancer, there was no hope. And in those days, this is many years ago, in those days, they didn't have the cancer stuff like they do now. My wife ended up in the hospital. Her intestines were eat up with cancer. Smelled terrible. And every day, I went to the hospital and prayed for her. And every day, she got worse. I almost felt like I quit praying. But I never gave up because I believed God would get me through. I'd have given anything. If I'd have been rich, I'd have given $1 million to have somebody like Pastor Harris come in and say, "Ken, I'm believing with you." And I said, "Let's believe right now." You know, I didn't have nobody like that. Everybody I had was negative. They sent me sympathy cards. I hate sympathy cards. Never send a sympathy card to anybody unless it's somebody getting married that ain't saved. And I hate sympathy cards. So anyway, I prayed and prayed. And one day the doctor said to me, "Mr. Gobb, are you preparing for a funeral?" I said, "No, I'm preparing for a miracle." They thought it was funny. They laughed at me. But I kept praying. I had nobody, and not bragging or complaining, but I had nobody to believe with me. My parents didn't even believe that. People come up and say, "Well, you know, my uncle died of the same thing. You know, I don't need to hear that." And so one day I went on a Wednesday, and I went there, and the nurse said, "She's been unconscious all day. We quit feeding her in the veins today, and it don't look good." And I went in. She couldn't squeeze my hand like she'd been doing. And I shut the door, and I prayed. I don't know what I prayed now, but I prayed, said, "God, I need a miracle. And I'm thanking you because I'm going to get through this." Well, I prayed, she opened her eyes. She was unconscious. She opened her eyes and she said, I want tea and toast. What? Can't have tea and toast or the needles and veins. What's crazy? I ran out to the nurse's station and she just got healed. They thought it was crazy. They called a doctor. He came down, he whispered something to a nurse, and she gave me a pill. You can't trust them doctors at all sometimes. And so I threw the pill away and drank that little paper cup of water. I made him think I took it. And so they checked her, and then she was talking plain. The doctor said her words are not slurred, because when over the weeks her words got slurred. I said, she's healed. So they let her go to sleep, and on Friday they made tests. Thursday and Friday, it was Wednesday night, and then on Saturday morning, without a walker, without a wheelchair, without crutches, only the help of my arm, because she was still wobbly from not walking. And we walked out of the hospital while the doctors and nurses clapped, healed by God's power. Never sick since. Isn't that wonderful? See, God's a big God. We decided to get through, not to break down and break up, but break through and know that God will help us. God is a big God. You say, well, you never had any problem? Yeah, I had a lot of problems. Had a lot of things I faced. But God is a big God. And you know what? He cares about you so much. The other day at the garden tomb, a lady looked in the tomb and she said, there's nothing in there. Our guide said, I know. That's why what we have is different than the Muslims and the Hindus and the Buddhists. We serve a risen Savior. Amen? We got something to be happy about. So Jesus told the disciples, let us go over. They didn't have a clue what was going to happen. But now they know that he's a master of every storm. You can make it, whatever you're going through. You know, I feel this tonight. If you're here and you are facing, you may love God with all your heart, but you are facing something in your life, on your job, in your family, whatever. I want you to stand right now if you face something. I'm going to just pray for you right there. Everybody faces something. But if you face something, just stand there. And believe whatever it is you're facing, that God will give you an answer. That God will help you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're a miracle God. We love you, Lord. We realize that you have all power. And we major only in the positive, and we speak creatively tonight to these people. We're going to obey all of your laws. We believe against the impossible. And we don't listen to negative people. People that tear you down, they're tearing you down because they're below where you are anyway. You don't want that. So, Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do in these lives. Thank you for answered prayer tonight. Thank you for victory. Lord, we just honor you so much. We thank you for this church. And Lord, I thank you for what I feel in my heart is going to happen in this church. This building will not hold the crowds. We're not talking about just having a crowd. We're talking about getting people answers in their life, in their marriage, their family, their kids, whatever. In their lives and accepting you, Lord. We thank you for that. But I thank you for these standing now. And I praise you for what you're doing. And you that are standing, join hands with somebody next to you. And just squeeze that hand, saying, you're saying, I know God is going to meet every need. I know God's going to answer prayer. I know God's going to work a miracle in every life. Father, I thank you for this great church. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here at First Open Bible. And I praise you, Lord, for this pastor with a heart for souls and a heart to touch this city. Lord, there are thousands of people in Cedar Rapids going to hell. And it's our job to win them. Thank you for what you're doing in every life. Thank you that we can get through every problem. That we can become a diamond from a piece of coal. We thank you, Lord, that you're a miracle-working God. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you for safe travel. I thank you for taking care of me. I praise you, Lord, for our radio programs, that you will touch millions of lives. I thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Give the Lord a hand of praise while you're seated tonight. Hallelujah. I want to say one other thing. I thank this church, whoever did it, I thank them, that the Israeli flag is next to the American flag up there. Israel appreciates that. When I was in the Ukraine last year, we watched them with the Israeli flag. They were waving it in the worship service and along with their country flag. And it was really great. And we showed that to the prime minister in Israel. Got tears in his eyes. We need to stand with Israel. I know some people don't like that. I'm not talking politically. But the Bible said if we curse Israel, God will curse us. And if we bless Israel, God will bless us. And I'm sorry to say this, but our former president did not bless Israel. You know, I'm not trying to be political, you understand? You may not like me, but that's what I believe. But I believe when our president, who's not perfect, is our president now, that God gave us a second chance to maybe win America to Christ. Amen? So, and I prayed for President Obama when he was president. The Bible said we're to do that. So I prayed for him. I didn't like a lot of things he did, but I prayed for him. Amen? You're to pray for your mayor, your governor. What, do you got a new governor running now? I don't know anything about him. You need to pray for him. Pray for the officials. Oh, it's a lady? Oh, okay. Well, we need to pray for her. Believe that God will help her make right decisions, because we need that in America right now more than ever. Jesus is coming a lot sooner than most of us realize. It's about over. I believe I'll be 83 this year. I believe I'll be alive when Jesus comes. That's how close it is. So we need to do what we can. Thank you for praying for me and our ministry, and pray for our main office. My daughter runs our whole ministry. My oldest son, Nathan, handles all the business of our radio ministry. We just moved our office from England to Panama due to the problems with the Muslims. We had to move. So my son did that while I was gone to Israel. But thank you for praying. If you ever think about going to Israel, go with us. And you'll love it. You'll never be the same. One guy said, that's what I'm worried about. But anyway, you can win somebody and help somebody. Amen? Give your pastor a hand tonight. God bless you. I like this guy.
Thank you. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, sir. Okay. I don't know if you're going to like this. Will you guys stand with me before we leave, please? Pastor Stevens, would you mind coming up here, please? We want to pray for you, Ken. I'm reminded of God's word and something about honor. My dad taught me at a young age, he was a military man, honor is very, very important, respect and honor. And we want to honor you with praying for you. Pastor, would you join me and we can pray for him? Church, will you extend your hands to him? He's got an awesome ministry, and there's a lot of wonderful things that are going to happen, and we were blessed. And think of all the other people that need to be blessed as well. Amen? And all the more people. And I am thankful that United Airlines is not safe if you're not a Christian, right? Amen. Amen. All right. Pastor, will you pray?
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, I thank you for Ken, Lord. I've known him for 50 years, Lord, and he's been so faithful and done so much for so many in his love for Christ. And Lord, thank you that you've uniquely put him together and gifted him, and he's reached people that nobody else could reach. And Father, I pray that you would reach deep down inside of him and heal every hurt and every sadness and everything deeply within him, Lord, that your joy would rise within his heart, Lord, and fill his life, Lord. And Father, I know you're going to lead others across his path. Bless him, Lord. Bless his wife. Bless his children, Lord. Bless his ministry. And Father, use him in greater ways than you have ever done before. And through your wisdom and your providence, Lord, guide his life. And Father, we thank you. And we ask, Lord, what he feels and sees in his heart would become a reality for First Open Bible. And that we could not contain the people that will fill this church, Lord. And Lord, they won't be from other churches, Lord. No. They'll be from the streets and in, yes, from the city, from people who've never known Christ before. And they will fill this place and know the joy of what it is to be a Christian. Bless us, Lord. And Father, send our nation the greatest awakening that we have ever had. That tens of millions would be saved in America and it would spread around the world. Thank you for that. Bless our pastor, Lord. Encourage him. Give him wisdom, Lord. Give him strength. Give him the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Help him, Father, to be full of the Spirit. And Father, to be a leader, Lord, that people will follow, Lord, and that can lead this city to Christ. Bless him, his wife, and his family. And Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' precious name.
Amen. Thanks, boss. Amen. We have ushers. One last. We're going to take up an offering one more time.